A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Otto's final years. In the final years of Otto's reign as Holy Roman Empire, he expanded the boundaries of the empire. In Denmark, the home of the dreaded Vikings, Otto succeeded in bringing about submission of the barbarous people who had plagued Europe for so many years. He forced the famed Erik Bluetooth to acquiesce to the empire and to allow free preaching of the gospel within his lands. This free preaching of the gospel is one of Otto's most lasting legacies. Pagan empires forbade the gospel and persecuted Christianity with fierceness little known even in the ancient Roman period, where a certain measure of law and order often entitled even Christians to a trial. In pagan countries, Christians needed no trial, and suspicion of empathy towards Christians garnered no less severity of punishment than believing the gospel. To these cultures, Charlemagne and Otto brought the greatest measure of freedom of religion. While modern historians scoff at the idea of religious freedom in the Middle Ages, it must be remembered that the Middle Ages was an age of progression. Pagan civilizations, where freedom was either absent altogether or severely restrained. In the Middle Ages, only Catholics held true freedom, but during the early Middle Ages, a measure of freedom was given to all, which could not be found in most other countries. Charlemagne had created duchies where Jews could create their own community and live as they saw fit, whereas Otto permitted freedom of monasteries where formerly none had existed. In addition, Otto repaid the Slavic invasions in kind and took Poland, Hungary, and all of Bohemia. These countries were added to the Holy Roman Empire and declared fealty to Otto. With the alliance of England and the nominal acceptance of France in the empire, it could be argued that Otto's empire exceeded even Charlemagne's in terms of territory. Of course, critics will note that Charlemagne's empire was fully loyal to him and all accepted him as emperor. Otto could never claim such. England was probably more allies than subjects of the emperor, and France ignored the emperor, neither declaring independence nor fealty. Many historians even argue that France was no longer a part of the empire, but that would be an overstatement. France wanted the protection of the empire when necessary, but it wanted its independence at all other times. Policy was to ignore the emperor whenever possible, an attitude more than occasionally used upon the Pope as well. During these last years, Otto also carefully strengthened Italy, much the way he had in Germany. This meant he had protected the Italian borders, which had fallen prey to Saracen invaders many times before. This was a touchy problem, though. The Byzantine Empire had kept the land of southern Italy in their empire dating back to the time of Charlemagne himself. In order to secure the Italian borders, Otto was forced to move into Byzantine territory. Since the Byzantine Empire was an ally of Rome, Otto had to negotiate in order to keep the peace. After many years, an agreement was made to marry the Byzantine princess Theophana to Otto's son, Otto II. The part of Italy in question could then be considered sort of a dowry, which the Holy Roman Empire could legitimately occupy. This occurred in 972 AD, shortly before Otto returned to Germany and died. Now, Otto cannot be said to be as great as Charlemagne, for he created nothing new that Charlemagne had not established before him. Nevertheless, Otto may be considered Charlemagne's true successor. What the feeble Carolingian dynasty could not do, Otto did. He reunited the crumbling empire, restored integrity to the papacy, briefly, saved Italy from itself, solidified the borders from foreign invaders, and resurrected the decaying empire. Like Charlemagne, however, he failed to ensure that it would survive without him. Otto's empire was a continuation of Charlemagne's. It offered nothing new, nothing to ensure it could survive without capable leaders. Thus it would be that the history of the Middle Ages would be repeating pattern of decay, followed by brief resuscitation led by a strong leader. When this leader died, so also the Renaissance would die with him, till 700 years later when Martin Luther breached the empire itself. It is therefore fair to say that the Ottonian Renaissance was one but a shadow of Charlemagne's Renaissance. While the Ottonian dynasty may not be considered as weak as the Carolingians, it didn't last as long. It was only 50 years after Otto's death that the Ottonians fell to a new dynasty, whereas Charlemagne's descendants dragged them along mercilessly for well over 100 years. Otto saved Rome, but he could not and did not reform its heart. The Holy Roman Empire was still the dying remains of Constantine's empire, divided and weak. Still, it is this empire from which the modern world emerged, and it is this empire to which we owe our own civilizations. No part of the world, whether in Asia or Africa, South America, Australia, can deny that it is the bastard offspring of the Holy Roman Empire, as empire which still cries out that it has become buried alive in Europe today. So that's Otto. One of these days, I think I'll do a series on just Otto the Great. But as of right now, my library is weak in that area, and I'm in the process of correcting that situation. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.